All right, yeah, go ahead. Have a seat, please. Get this thing all hooked up here, sorry.
You took me off guard a little bit. Anyway, I'm so thankful to be here, for sure. I've got a topic on my heart today. Maybe I want to turn that down just a little bit, Jeffrey. Am I blasting you guys out there? Yeah. She said no, he says this. All right, well, we'll just go with it right now. But it has to do with keeping your life simple. Life has a tendency to get complicated, and there's a lot of circumstances and situations and distractions, and you fill in the blank that all of a sudden is no longer making our life simple. And so I thought it'd be fun, you know, kids generally are very simple in the way that they think, the way that they process information, and there's a couple of small stories or one-liners that I thought you would get a kick out of about the way kids perceive life. Sometimes the things we take so seriously, to a child, they just don't get it, right? Sometimes adults don't get it, but kids don't get it either. Here's a Sunday school teacher. She asked her class why Joseph and Mary took Jesus with them to Jerusalem. And the child answered, they couldn't get a babysitter. And a boy was watching his father, who was a pastor, write a sermon. He says, how do you know what to say? He asked. He says, why, God tells me. And he said, well, why do you then keep crossing things out? God tells me everything to write, really? Oh, yeah. Some of these are really cute. Adam and Eve were created from an apple tree. Noah's wife was called Joan of Arc. Noah built an ark, which the animals come onto in pairs. Lot's wife was a pillar of salt by day, but she was a ball of fire by night. Moses led the Hebrews to the Red Sea, where they made unleavened bread, which is bread without any ingredients at all. The Egyptians were all drowned in the deserts. Afterwards, Moses went up on Mount Sinai to get the Ten Amendments. Oh, Moses died before he ever reached Canada. Then Joshua led the Hebrews in the Battle of Jericho. The greatest miracle in the Bible is when Joshua told his son to stand still, and he obeyed him. Solomon, one of David's sons, had 300 wives and 700 porcupines. These are kids, man. You know, it's so cute. When Mary heard that she was the mother of Jesus, she sang the Magna Carta. It was a miracle when Jesus rose from the dead and managed to get the tombstone off the entrance. And finally, the people who followed the Lord were called the 12 decibels. The epistles were the wives of the apostles. Oh my gosh, yeah. Kids just have such a unique perspective on life many times. I want to look in Ephesians chapter 5. Just remember kind of keeping this topic in mind about keeping your life simple, man. Life gets so intense and complicated sometimes. So God does share with us and instruct us to be more childlike in our believing, in our faith, and I'm thinking in our walk too, to be like children, like children. Ephesians chapter 5, kind of a familiar book of the Bible, well-worn probably in most of our Bibles. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 15. You'll see a couple of verses there that says, see then they walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. And we look at this in a lot of different ways. You know, in many translations, in Jan's translation and others, the Amplified Bible, it talks about buying up every opportunity. In the Amplified Bible, this is called the Classic Edition. It says, look carefully then how you walk. Live purposely and worthily and accurately, not as the unwise and witless, but as wise, making the very most of the time, buying up each opportunity because the days are evil. And this particular word, redeeming or buying up, means to buy up like at the marketplace. And opportunity is regarded as a commodity to be used by believers. I don't know about you, and I don't say this in a judgmental way. Maybe at my own life, I have to evaluate how much time I waste. Hours upon hours sometimes, hopefully minutes by minutes, I'm getting better at this. That maybe I'm not buying up all the opportunities that I have available for me to what God talks about in the King James Version is redeeming the time. Because I feel like, you know, the rest of my life is so maxed out. Hey, I need some time for myself just to chill out, veg out, space out, freak out, whatever. And, you know, maybe for me that's buying up the opportunity I need to, like, recover. But, you know, I think the purpose of the sharing this morning is just kind of to, you know, look a little more simply at this particular topic. Look in Philippians chapter 2, keeping our lives simple. You know, many of us are baby boomers. We kind of grew up in a generation, and I did, in a small town in Illinois. When you left the house in the morning, you left at 7 in the morning, you went ice skating all day long, you came back at dark, you were out there hanging out with your friends, and maybe or maybe not, you even had contact with your parents all day long. They kind of knew where you were, what you were doing, and if they really needed to get a hold of you, they could call, you know, the neighbors or whatever. Didn't lock the doors when you left at night or during the day. No such thing as cell phones, really no computers, no tablets, no things that have really become a part of our culture now. If you leave home without your phone now, you'll drive back 20 miles to get it, generally, because it's like a lifeline. It's like an IV. It's almost like I can't survive without it. You know, back in the days when we cleaned windows, we had no cell phones and that sort of thing. We used pay phones. Remember what those were? Pay phones? Yeah. And I had a little pager on my belt that, you know, like, oh. And then I would call back to my voicemail and, you know, all these. Maybe it was just a little simpler way, you know, of doing things. Many in this room are from states outside of California. And this time of year sort of brings back memories, smells, foods of other places, other cultures, leaves turning color, leaves burning after you rake them up in the yard, and the weather's turning cooler. Really? The weather's turning cooler. You know, you can see your breath. You're kind of breaking out the winter clothes, the sweat. You know what I mean? It's something. It evokes things in a person's heart. Philippians chapter 2. Let's turn that down just a little bit more, Jeffrey. Thank you. Philippians chapter 2, verse 14. This is going to help to keep all of our lives simpler. It says, to do all things without murmurings and disputings. You know what that is? You know what murmurings and disputings are? We were actually talking with somebody the other day, and it was like every time they said something was negative. And it was like, do you ever say anything just positive? I mean, do you ever see anything like from an optimistic point of view? You're such a pessimist, you know. But to do all things without murmurings and disputing, basically without complaining or arguing. You know, everything. I don't like this, and I don't like that. You know, in the world, it's called narcissism, where the main focus of the attention and everything that is going around in the world is about you. You know, this is my world. And why would that person do that to me? Because I this and I that, me. Hey. I remember a great statement Dr. Wirbel made. When you make Jesus Christ Lord of your life, you are no longer Lord of your own life, or second part, first part, third part, all the way down the road. You changed lordship. You acquired a new master. When things get complicated and complex, it's because we've lost focus of who we really are. And we're out there trying to scurry around, trying to do things that maybe if we just slowed down, took a step back from it, got a little bit more perspective on it, things would simplify. So do all things without murmurings and disputings, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. This old, dark, nasty world that we have been condemned to live in by a loving God who's put us in this environment to see how we'll do. Really? Really? Another version of Philippians 2 says, do everything without complaining and arguing, so you will be blameless and pure, children of God without any fault. But you are living with evil people all around you. That's true. Is that any revelation? Who have lost their sense of what is right among those people. You shine like a light. I love this statement. Darkness, make it as dark as possible. You know what? You're going to shine that much brighter because of who you are in this world today. And I think that's an interesting point. Our perspective, our vantage point, our thought processes about this world, this environment, the circumstances in which we have found ourselves. And if you've been around for a while, which many of us have, you will eventually run into people if you haven't had this sort of conversation and confession by yourself. I just can't wait till Christ comes back and gets this whole thing over with, because I am so sick and tired of this deal. Everything. It's just... Maybe you've never said that. I have. Or probably at least met somebody who has said that, right, in the moment. But I think we do forget the simplicity of who we are and what we are and what we can be like in the world. See? Because you can see it as a dark, nasty place to live in, surrounded by satanic influences beyond our control that irritate, anger us, and the only way out is Christ's return. To me, that is a fatalistic way of looking at Christianity. And yet, it is commonplace. But more so when people are frustrated, when things aren't going their way, when they're discouraged, they're disappointed, they're mad, they're hurt. But I think there is another option available. And that is that this world is the environment that God has lovingly placed us in to bring light and deliverance and hope to those who were like we were when we were crying out for answers and help and hope and truth. And we didn't know it was coming from a knowledge of God or the scriptures. But we do now, 30-some years later. Some of us, 40-some years later, or maybe it was 5 days ago, that thing in our heart that welled up where we realized we're lost without God. See, I am convinced that God knows exactly what He's doing. And that He has not condemned Christian people to live in a world as wretched, tormented souls. I think God has a completely different perspective on this. Have you ever heard the definition of wisdom that says it is seeing things from God's perspective? So the proposal today, this morning, is that we go to Him, we have humble hearts, humble minds, we ask, we desire His wisdom. Not today, Mary. No, I'm sorry. What's our part in this? Going to Him. God knows we need the wisdom, but He doesn't force it on you, you know? You will receive my wisdom. Humble heart, humble mind, going to God. Oh, I don't know what to do. Or just give me the perspective. You know, it doesn't always have to be a crisis. You know, 911 God. How about just hanging out with God, just fellowshipping with God? I just want to get better insight into the scriptures. I just want to do this and that. It doesn't always have to be a crisis. You know, I truly do believe he'll provide us with an amazing vision that will give us a new and a fresh perspective of who we are, where we are, and what we have to offer in the world. So let's look at Luke 15 briefly. A lot of things are a matter of perspective, how we're seeing things, how we're perceiving things. Unfortunately, we've grown up in a culture and still are in the culture that if you feel a certain way, then that's the way it is. Because I'm feeling it. But if I come over here and punch her in the face, I guarantee you, she's going to be feeling completely different about how she's feeling right at this moment. You know, that's kind of an extreme example. But we are in a culture that sort of promotes emotionalism. You know, you can call it whatever you want. Humanism, that's what, is that what you want to call it? I want you to watch television for a little while, and pretty soon there's dogs on TV that are crippled. There's little kids that can't eat. I mean, what are they appealing to in the human being? You know, some sort of emotional draw that ultimately will move you to such a point you'll open your wallet and spend the money. People in sales and public relations and marketing, they know exactly what they're doing. So does God. So does God. Luke 15, chapter 1. Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And there's another record in another gospel where it says he was actually having dinner with them, tax collectors. And the Pharisees and the scribes murmured, saying, this man receives sinners. He's even eating with them. You know, Jesus Christ, in his earthly ministry, he was so flawlessly adept in his walk as God's only begotten Son. And as a result of that, he was capable and able and did show his Father's heart and love in every situation. Every situation he ever got into. Wow. And so the religious leaders are sort of perceiving this situation. Jesus, man of God, has all these people following. Now he's eating with people that were actually less spiritual than he was. And the Pharisees were in shock. And they were angry. And they were troubled, right? And so what happened in the record that follows, which we're not going to go through the whole thing, is that it prompted Jesus Christ to share at least three, if not four, of the most unbelievable parables that are recorded in the Gospels. Lost sheep, lost coin, and the forgiving father. Those three things follow in the context of this particular incident in the life of Jesus Christ with the Pharisees and that sort of thing there. But here's the point, and maybe some of you are familiar with those particular parables. If not, read this later. It's great. Aren't these the people, really, that we seek to find? The ones who are in despair and that need God's help and deliverance? Are we in the business of converting other Christians to our way of thinking? Because they don't get it. I don't see that directive in the Bible. God calls people. It says, if you hunger and thirst after righteousness, you will be filled. I can't describe or entertain or even begin to acknowledge what every Christian ministry and every Christian person throughout this entire planet is doing in their walk with God. And it's not that I don't care. I just have my own life, my own ministry. I'm not going to try and evaluate and assess what every minister and every ministry is going to do. I hope they're helping people. I hope they're seeing the signs and wonders. And God, in His grace and mercy, walks with people that you would never think He would walk with. And He does things in people's lives and in people's ministries that if it was us, we'd never do it. Because they don't believe this. They don't believe that. They don't believe this. They're off here, off here, off. Well, you know what? Keep your life simple. See? You can't have responsibility for everybody else's doing all around the world. Well, even overall San Diego. But you can be responsible for cleaning out the attic of your mind and replacing them with the thoughts of God's Word and the simplicity of the heart in which our Lord Jesus Christ walked, who lives in you. Wow. You know, Jesus said that those who are whole, they don't need a physician. It's people who are ill that need the physician. See, another great point. Find those who are lost, who have lost their way, who admit they have a need for help. Did Jesus turn up His nose or down at people? No. All people were on an equal playing field with Jesus. Even the way they smelled, even the way they looked, even the way they spoke, even if they weren't perfect to be able to witness to or invite to fellowship or whatever. His heart was what God's heart was. I have my meat is to do the will of Him who sent me. Right? So it was God's heart. It embodied, I called, empathetic care and acceptance to a degree that the world had never seen before. People stood in shock and awe. Talk about the Afghan war. Shock and awe with which the authority and power with which Jesus spoke. And to the degree to which He loved in His Father's strength. Were these not the lost who were seeking a home they didn't even know existed yet? The day you got, before you got in the Word, do you ever figure you'd be here today at this point in time? That the relationship with God would be the answer to the soul searching and the cry of your heart? For acceptance, love, fulfillment, joy. I didn't. Were they like that one lost coin the bride searched and searched and searched for? You know that day for many of those that were present there, on this day of these telling of these parables, it took on new meaning with a fresh perspective of rest and refreshment. Hungry souls were being fed that day, and the people responded remarkably. They really did. And you can answer this question too. I am convinced that Jesus set a pretty good example of what was a priority in God's heart. Don't you? Yeah. Here's just a few. He declared who His Father was and who His Father is. Reaching the lost, healing the brokenhearted, recovering of sight to the blind, bringing the knowledge of the two spiritual kingdoms by exposing the devil openly amongst many, 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 many other things. His desire in His life was, His desire to help others was manifested in His life by acquiring God's wisdom in helping others to learn and to connect to His kind, His compassionate, His long-suffering, His loving Father, who people didn't even know about. Even the Old Testament believers. This concept of Father was something totally foreign. And that's one of the things that really upset the religious hierarchy. A loving Father being presented? What about the stern law enforcer? You know, the judge, type of thing. So what a difference one day made. If one responded and turned to the Father, Jesus' day in the world was totally worth it. One soul. You see, it said when that sheep was found, everybody rejoiced. When the coin was found, everyone was rejoicing. When the son came back, the father was waiting with open arms. And they had party. Rejoicing, rejoicing. See? So it's challenging to us today at times. But see, all we want to do is keep our life simple. Well, what example do we have to follow to do that? Oh, yeah, I know we got jobs and blah, blah, all this stuff, right? The true heart of compassion in the Father is still seeking the lost, reaching those who have never met the Father, see? To have that heart, that compassion, see? Well, there's a lot of things we could sell our souls to do, see? All the angels in heaven rejoice when one soul accepts the Lord Jesus Christ. The angels in heaven. Hey, that's a lot, right? So here's the point. You got an extra moment today? You do desire to help people? Because there's one thing that can be done very easily. Because the table has already been set. You don't even have to cook the meal. You don't have to clean up. Oh, that's one thing they hate to do. Cook and clean. The meal's already set. And somebody else is going to clean it up. All you have to do is invite. Invite. Because at the head of the table and on his right hand are God and his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, man. The heart, and the desire to keep life simple. Where would I be today if someone at some point, at some place, God moved and worked through them to give me an introduction? Maybe it's taken me 35 years to figure out what that's meant, you know, and I'm still kind of figuring it out, you know. But at least I got the introduction. See? Keeping your life simple. Keeping your life simple. See? We're lights in the world. Now, I wrote this article, which you got a little part of. I put it on Facebook. And I don't normally generally do things like that. This is the first one actually I've ever done. But, you know, I got some wonderful responses. I thought I'd just share them with you real quick and kind of wrapping this up. Well, many of you know Steve and Mary Carter from the Chicagoland area. And you know Steve's mother, named Barbara Carter. She's well into her 80s, but she is a go-getter. And some young people would have a hard time keeping up with her. But as she read this letter and God worked in her heart, this is what she responded and what she said. She said, "I live in a life care community, Barney, and we believers enjoy being together at mealtime. And for the next week, I'm going to suggest that we find the people that are often alone or new to the campus and show them God's love to his glory." I thought, you know what? How cool. That somebody got the message of the simplicity of the walk to which we have been called to. See, it's really not complicated. We are the complicated ones at times. And two more, one from a brother, wonderful musician, many of you know him, Scott Powell. He said, "Well put, Barney, God's perspective of everything, like the rudder that steers our ship. I really don't want to look at my own ship. It looks like it was drawn by a four-year-old with a giant crayon and has the potential to get me very lost." All his thoughts and all his ways are so much higher. And I'm going to actually say, so much easier.
Yeah.
Honestly. Yeah. You heard this thing about working smarter, not harder? With God's help, that's going to happen. With your help, you're going to work hell. You're going to work a hell of a lot harder. And finally, a gentleman from the great state of Texas, Tricia. I believe he's an attorney down there, Corpus Christi. Timothy Robe. He says, it's easy to speak about Christ to the guy with the Christian t-shirt on. Try speaking God to the guy with the Black Sabbath t-shirt on. That really is more of the challenge with which we face. If we see things so clearly with the five senses, tattoos, earrings, piercings, weirdness, whatever, spiky hair, all this stuff, God may be calling that person. He may be the next greatest evangelist that walked this planet. How would you possibly know that? We just have to have the humbleness and humility in our hearts to go to God for His perspective. Because there's so many things in the world that set us up to be so judgmental and just assess. Boom. That's the way it is. We want to keep our lives simple. Stay open to the Father. Stay in communication with Him. It doesn't have to be a crisis. And God works in many different ways. I'm not going to look like you, and you're not going to look like me, but whatever we end up looking like together, we're on the same team. Right? Okay, well, one last thing. I guess this has been a very inspired week, because yesterday I actually wrote a poem. It's called Simple Living. And it says, oh, how we have been released in light, anchored now and living life right. Ease and grace are ours freely to share, because we reflect so brilliantly in His light and in His care. Reflecting from the goodness of His face, we shine forth brightly and we take our place. In this world where we live with the human race, the Creator has not chosen us just to take up space. One purpose, one calling, an amazing future to be. Called to listen to Him so that we can really see. And so that's why we're here, to assist with the good news of the gospel of Christ. We do persist. Humbly, we shine forth brightly as children of His story, wisely buying up our time with grace, His grace, and bringing Him to glory. Amen.
Amen.
One thing to remember, simple living. Simple living. 99% of the time next to you is someone who's never heard the news of the gospel. And there you are. There you are. The table has been set. Beautiful. Whatever your favorite meal is. Kahlua pig. There it is. Right. The greatest meal that's ever been set before us in history. There it is. And all you got to do is invite them. They don't know it. But taste and see. Taste and see. Then it's like, yeah, bring it. You know? So, let's pray, shall we? Father, thank You for the simplicity of Your life, Your love, Your care. Father, without You, we stumble around in the dark like a four-year-old. And we want to have it clear as much as possible to get Your perspective, Your heart. And You've given us that in Christ. There's no more waiting to receive more. We've got it. Thank You for open doors in the hearts of people, Father, who are lost and desperately seeking You, that somehow if we can't see them, that they stumble across us, fall over us or something. So we just have the joy and privilege of bringing them to You and to Your presence. You're so caring and gracious with us, Father, and we just pray these prayers today with great hearts of of hunger and desire to live the days of our lives, buying up every opportunity that we have to live and give and serve. And Father, that there's so much more that's ahead of us in this life that we don't have to just keep looking at things like we need a way out. So we pray for God's people, all these wonderful saints, and in their hearts, Father, you've sown the seeds of your word, and that we can just move forward with this, from this this place, Father, with maybe a new and fresh and a different perspective. And we pray in the name of our Master, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right, God bless.